Impressive.
Oh, really?
And very fit, very fit.
Good morning.
Wow.
Very smart. And 5 college degrees. Doctorate.
Today is June 16th. This is the joint committee for the Subcommittee on Education. We have 3 bills that we're going to be working today. Our staff person, it seems demeaning just to call Doug our staff person, but Doug's been working hard, and members, I believe we're just going to be working bills the rest of the week. Is that right, Doug?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and we'll take these bills one at a time. Should we go in order?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 5024. Mr. Wilson.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the subcommittee. You have on your OLIS screens, you have a rather large document that I'll be going through. The first 4 pages are a memo, which I'll spend just a couple minutes on, and the bulk of the time will be on one of the spreadsheets or the Orbitz things that I'll walk through page by page. This is a large budget, so please be patient, and I would suggest taking questions as we go would be probably the best way to do it, because given the nature and the scope of this agency, you start off with something and go to something completely different as you go through it. This is Higher Education Coordinating Commission Bill, House Bill 5024, the work session. The table there on the first page of the memo is a table that reflects the components of HEC in the past coming together. So if you were to look at just the regular, looking at the computer inputs for HEC, you would see nothing in 11-13 and growing slowly. What we did here was take higher education, community colleges, OSAC, and the other components, and also put them on this table for comparison's sake. So if you took a look at the budget book, you'd see very little for HEC and general fund in legislative approved, a little more in current service level, but the LFO recommended budget, of course, includes all those components. As you know, HEC was created in 2011 through some of the higher education reforms of Senate Bills 242 and 1538 in 2012. I've highlighted their major responsibilities in terms of their coordination and some other areas where they play a large role. And as I noted before, that for 15-17, this budget expands significantly as community colleges and workforce development. The Office of Student Access, or the former Oregon Student Access Commission, now renamed, or OSAC, Oregon Health and Science University, OHSU, and the public universities, or OUS, are all combined into HEC. So your total budget, at least in the LFO recommended, is about $1.7 billion. General fund with another $62 million of lottery funds. So as you start thinking about the budget itself, compared to current service level, other than bringing things together in one place, the community college support fund is increased by $95 million over CSL, which represents about 21%. The public university support fund is increased by around $150 million, almost a 30% increase from CSL. The Oregon Opportunity Grant increase is about 20% when you take all funds together, or about $23.6 million increase. There's positions added to this budget to really create what is essentially a core agency. So making sure the administrative and support infrastructure is in place, as well as some major IT functions. There are 2 major IT projects, one in OSAC, replacing their financial assistance management system, and another one for the department as a whole as you bring them together. And making sure they have an integrated, at least the start of an integrated central network and server service. And then there's money in for the 2 skill centers that we'll get to. Debt service has been adjusted to reflect what is really needed throughout the budget. $14 million is added for over current service level for Forest Research Lab, the Extension Service, and the Ag Experiment Station. And finally, the funding for debt service for OHSU is not included in this budget. It will be run in a separate bill. The decision was made, pushed heavily by OHSU, that they felt they would rather work with DAS than HEC. They, as a side note, as a personal editorial, they may be the only agency that actually wants to work with DAS. I'm not sure. That's a joke. So I will start now going page by page, and I apologize. This will take longer. You'll see the same type of length on when we get next week to the Oregon Department of Education's budget. So I'm looking now at the spreadsheets or the output on the budget system. I think it starts on about page 5 of your on OLIS there, 5 or 6. The first page is the operations summary page. This is HEC operations, which is the leadership of the department. Many of the admin services are part of this. The first package, I'm on page 3 of 65. If you take a look at the bottom of those, I'll refer to those pages as I go through. The first budget or the first policy package, 231, is the Engineering Technology Industry Council reconfiguration. This is ETIC is the name. So this package redistributes the ETIC funding. It had been transferred to OEIB in the 2014 session, excuse me. And then since OEIB and current service level was set to go away in March, they moved it to HEC, or a lot of it to this budget unit in HEC, the operations. What this package really does is transfers all of the money in this package, $19.7 million, and moves it to public public university statewide programs, which are later in the budget, and combines it with another $4.7 coming from OEIB to create a little over $24 million for engineering programs at the public universities. That leaves about $6.1 million of OEIB money, which is slated at this point in time to go to the Talent Council, a bill you'll see, I believe, Thursday in this committee. And that is going to be part of the employment department, at least the way the bill is drafted now. So the outcome of these actions between now and then are that a little over $24 million stays in HEC budget, but with the public university system for supporting engineering efforts at the public universities, much in the same way it's been spent up to this point, and $6.1 million will be for the Talent Council.
Representative Hoffman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Doug, there's been a tremendous amount of work over the last few years going into finding a more permanent home for ETIC, and then the budgetary portion, which had been around $29 million, and then the concept of the Talent Council, but the roughly $24.5 million, is that spelled out how it's going to be spent? Because I know there's some partner concerns out there that there's a question about $1.6 million and that has been possibly used by the universities on things that are not specifically approved by the ETIC board to be used for engineering purposes. So are we going to have a breakout of how HEC plans on investing and distributing the $24.5 million?
In this budget, there is not a breakout other than the split between the 24 plus and 6.1. I'm not aware. When we get to that package, I will ask Mr. Siebert to come in and help you out with that because he's our public universities analyst. So hopefully Paul is listening, and when we get to that package later, that would probably be the best time to discuss that. I know the big numbers, not the distribution inside. So that is package 231, and I hope that's all right if we wait for that. Okay. That was package 231. Package 301 is a package you'll see three or four times in this budget. It is basically a movement to bring together sort of make sure that HEC operates as an agency in terms of its sort of administrative and support functions. So you'll see packages in the operations section sending money to the HEC operations section. So you'll see an increase here is partially paid for with funds that are coming from the other divisions and the other packages. In this budget unit, it creates six permanent positions, mainly around support functions like information technology, human resources, accounting, and budget staff. And in addition, there are two positions created here specifically directed at taking over the role of doing all the accounting and monitoring of OU, what was formerly Oregon University System debt, which now will come through this budget, and it will take a couple positions because there are millions and hundreds of millions of dollars worth of debt in separate projects out there that must be tracked. This was a function that used to be performed by the Chancellor's Office and to a lesser extent by the Community College and Workforce Development. So there will be a small unit being more of a debt management unit, and they'll share these responsibilities with DAS, who will take the more technical legal role, because they do have staff that serves all of state government, much of state government, in those functions. Package 303, this continues something that was around for the second half of this biennium. The Chancellor's Office had a research and data team, what they really call the institutional research team of five staff. In the second half of this biennium, the current biennium, 2013-15, HEC contracted with that staff, and they really operated as part of the staff of HEC. This just brings that staff into HEC permanently and establishes the five positions and fund it. This staff is important because they're the ones that provide all the information on higher education or the public universities around what is needed for the distribution of resources, tracking student achievement. They'll feed data into the statewide longitudinal data system when you get to that point when that's developed. So they're very important in tracking the public university system and the millions of dollars we put into that system in this budget. Package 304. Another responsibility that came from the Chancellor's Office that was not totally considered in putting this together over the past few years. Oregon University System had paid various higher ed association membership fees, and we're picking up that responsibility here at the cost of $381,000. The most important one of that is Western Interstate Commission for Higher Education, or WICHE, membership there sets up the eligibility for Oregon and some of the state-by-state reciprocity agreements on tuition.
Representative Huffman.
Is it time for a facetious question? Doug, would it
well,
be...
Well, all depends if it...
Would it be...
It's going to be your responsibility if we run late.
Would it be easier to tell us what we didn't transfer from the Chancellor's Office into HEC? It just seems like we're kind of changing the name from Chancellor's Office to HEC, the way you're kind of going down through saying, we, okay.
This is the way it needs to happen.
There is no Chancellor, if you're wondering, in this recommendation.
What was that, Senator Roblin?
I was just saying, it didn't.
Excuse me. Doug, would you, well, Senator Roblin, quickly.
I was just saying, it didn't transfer the authority, it just transferred the work. The university's got the authority.
Okay, now both of you are responsible for if we go late.
We'll behave. Maybe. No.
Moving on, package 802 deals with information systems. It adds $290,000 to continue what we had fixed, sort of stopgap for the second half of this biennium, using Alder funding, which I'll come back to later, and some other funds to basically put together IT system for the agency itself, for the entire agency. Most of this money is used for servers and networks and assessments at the state data system or state data center or their contractors. Position 804 is a position cleanup. This package shifts funding on the the commission executive director and the chief of staff to represent that they do have functions other than general funded functions, mainly around workforce development and some of the private career school functions. So this says that that 80% of their position funding will be general fund, the remainder are split between other funds and federal funds. And then the last package in this budget unit 808 is a technical adjustment. It increases the other funds expenditure limitation by $74,000 to take into account a grant from which year Western Interstate Commission of Higher Ed that they have received, but it was not part of the current service level. So Madam Chair, that is the first budget unit of many, but probably one of the two or three longest ones.
Okay.
So moving on to degree authorization in private career schools, this is a combination function that the degree authorization used to be part of OSAC until recently, and the private career school program was part of the Department of Education. They were combined in the current biennium and now are an integrated unit working together and sharing staff and functions. Package 301 is that HEC management streamlining package I discussed. So they are sending dollars that were used to pay for DAS services and other things in this unit to the central part of HEC to offset some of the increased costs there and to bring together the administrative and support functions of the entire agency. You'll see that again in a couple other sections. Package 302 is integrating program approvals and reviews. It basically increases the resources available for the degree authorization and private career school programs. It increases the staffing by one, but also embedded in this package is an additional $150,000 of other fund expenditure authority so the office can respond to the uptick, increased workload around some of the private career school closings and the increase in online or demand for their services around online degree programs significantly increasing over the past biennium or few biennia. This is a one-time increase and probably should review it again to see what the workload is pacing here. They can use this for contract or hiring contract employees or temporary employees. I thought it was the most efficient way to provide some resources to them for that purpose.
Senator Roblin.
So this does not become part of base budget upon which next year?
This, Madam Chair, Senator Roblin, the 150 that's embedded in this package is a one-time at this point.
Okay.
Moving on, that's that particular budget unit. Moving on to Community College and Workforce Development. This is the office operations. The first package is another one of those management streamlining where this budget unit is sending money to the central part of HEC to offset some of those increased costs. Let me diverge away from the publication or the spreadsheets here and talk briefly about current service level. Embedded in the current service level of this budget unit is roughly $10.9 million of workforce training money. And in putting this budget together, I did not include language that within that $10.9 million did some switching around in terms of the programs as presented by the agency whenever it was weeks ago, I guess is probably the best way to say it. So of that $10.9 million general fund, these are the changes that the agency would wish to put in place. Funds for the work-ready communities program, which includes the National Career Readiness Certifications, is increased from $750,000 to $1 million. This is all within existing funding in the budget. The support for the local workforce investment boards to lead local sector strategies and other efforts to increase community and industrial competitiveness is funded at $2.5 million. The technical assistance for the local workforce areas is funded at $1 million. An allocation of $400,000 is provided for best practices identification and information sharing around with the workforce investment boards. Funding for the Back to Work Oregon on-the-job training and the National Career Readiness Certificates programs included is reduced from $6.2 to $5 million. And then finally, a separate allocation of $1.5 million for that National Career Readiness Certificates program is eliminated, as well as a $1.5 million for personal or supporting sector strategies program. That NCRC, I think they've moved stuff around, but it still is in within that $10.9 million. So that is what the agency would like to have the budget reflect. I know there were concerns raised last night with a flurry of emails around this, and I wanted to get that on the record, and that will be included in the budget report language if this is approved. There were also two workforce packages included, one in this budget. They are not funded. They were proposed by the governor. They were not included in the co-chair's framework and the final decisions around this budget. And I think that was, there was a...
Ops 201.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think of the amount. It was like $6 million.
Yeah, $6 million.
One in youth employment was $15 million. Those are not funded in this budget.
And Representative Huffman has a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, Doug, the $10.9 million shows up where?
Is it in the
HEC base?
It is in the current service level for this budget unit.
And not a POP?
Not a POP.
Okay.
I think the department, the folks that were concerned were around this distribution that I just went through.
Right. Yeah, very much
so. Get that on the record. Thanks.
And that will be included in the budget report language.
And Senator Roblin, you're okay?
I'm not necessarily okay. I just wanted to understand where 2021 and 202 went, which were those two. And the 203, which is the current service level, is still in there, the 10.9.
And that's really what I just, the distribution right. is what that package dealt with.
Yeah, okay.
I think what I'll do is finish this division. Since Paul is here, he may be able to take up Representative Huffman's ETIC question. During the current biennium, we had... The legislature, mainly in 2016 session, worked around a problem that CCWD has had around staffing and the funding of staffing. They have equivalent of 8.65 FTE funded general fund, but the true workload of general fund purposes was about 13 FTE. This package takes care of that issue and redistributes and increases the general funding on positions mainly in the support area and some in the research area. Package 801, this package actually brings money in from the ODE budget where it's better suited here. This was presented, I believe, by the Deputy Superintendent of Education more, but it was more appropriate here. This is a high school equivalency credential program. It basically would increase access and provide assistance to those students, up to 10,000 students age 25 and under, who do not get a high school, some kind of diploma or an equivalency. This is a GED-related program. It adds $2 million, most of which will go out to, or much of it will go out to organizations at the local level to help people get ready for the GED and also get access to the GED. There are two positions created with this package. And then finally, in this budget unit, a cleanup here. This package transfers the funding for what is essentially now the Deputy Commissioner for Community Colleges, that position, from a partial general fund slash federal fund position to completely 100% federal funds. It saves almost $150 million. This position will be solely dedicated to working on workforce and taking the lead in the area around workforce development for the agency. Much of this function now is actually housed in the employment department, but the budget rests in this budget or in this agency.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Mr. Co-Chair.
150 million or 150,000? saving.
$150,000. Did I say $150 million?
Yes.
I'm sorry. That person, I'm sure she would have enjoyed making that kind of salary over the years, but she didn't.
She'd have to be the football coach at, or the president of U of O.
Yes.
Paul, do you want to address the ETIC issue at this point so you don't need to stand around?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I believe Representative Huffman had a question about ETIC. I just asked that he...
Do you need to put your name on the record?
I'm legislative fiscal staff.
Thank you.
Paul, a lot of work's gone into transferring ETIC and the responsibilities and trying to develop an Oregon Talent Council. It sounds like the co-chairs are going to put $6.1 million in the Talent Council to fund that. On the $24.5 roughly million dollars for ETIC, do you know what the recommendation from the ETIC board was to HEC and OEIB to fund that? We're at 24.5, but my understanding is they recommended 21.2.
Madam Chair, Representative Huffman, I can tell you that the Legislative Fiscal Office was not party to those negotiations or those discussions. We had no information that the ETIC Council had recommended any amount of money. We do know that the co-chairs have approved the transfer in the package of the roughly $24.5 million. And then the remaining funds, again, I'm not familiar if the co-chairs have made a final decision on funding for the town of council or not.
Follow up?
Please.
So is there anywhere in the budget that directs HEC to make sure that the entire, if we're going to go with 24.5, that the entire 24.5 is spent on the engineering-related programs and nothing else?
Madam Chair, Representative Huffman, that's my understanding, that this is to supplement the programs and increase the capacity to produce engineering and technology degrees.
Just wanted to get that on the record, Madam Chair, because there's quite a bit of difference between 21.2 and 24.5. And ETIC's been in the works for a long time, and I know there's a lot of fixed costs over the years that have come with that, and I get that. You know, we hire faculty to do run the engineering programs, but I just want to make sure that we don't lose in transition and translation the purpose of that, and to make sure that the recommendations of the ETIC board, which has been there for years, you know, that we're listening to them.
Thank you for your comments, and thank you for putting it on the record. Mr. Siebert, see you later. Oh, and thank you.
Thank you, Paul.
Yeah. Thank you, Paul. So moving on in this budget, the next budget unit is the state support for community colleges. As I noted before, this has had a significant increase. Package 111 there on page 19 of 65 shows about almost a $95 million increase for this program. This is for the distribution of the 17 community colleges. As noted, this is about a 20% increase over the current service level and slightly less over the amount for 13-15. There is a budget note connected, which we'll get to at the toward the end of the work session on this budget, but it does say that prior to any significant change in the community college support fund distribution, that they must come back to the legislature, probably in the 2016 session, to get legislative review on that. Keep in mind that in the second half of the biennium, the HEC is planning to have a new model for distribution, which is partially performance-based, but they will need to come back to the legislature for review on that. Moving on to page 20 of 65. Package.
Chair, just.
Yes, Representative.
Just to clarify, because Doug knows this stuff and goes pretty quick. But so we are doing 550 for community colleges.
That is
we
right.
We heard that,
but
yes.
What is it they need to come back in 2016 and report on?
Basically, they are the first year of the biennium. They'll be working with the current distribution formula that they've used for a number of years.
Okay.
They are moving toward what I'll call a performance-based, in part performance-based, and I think there's concern that by legislators that they want to see what that looks like before it's implemented in the second year of the biennium or next July, a year from now. Package 803, this is the skills centers. There are two skills centers, the Margaret Carter Center at Portland Community College and the Sabin Center in Clackamas County. We have funded these in the past, but they've always been one-time in nature, so we always have to add it back. The co-chairs this time to actually want to make it permanent funding so it becomes part of base in the future for these two skill centers. They'll split the $605,000 evenly between them.
Representative Smith-Warner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Doug, is there FTE associated with that?
Madam Chair, Representative Smith-Warner, no, this is a payment to the skill centers themselves, so if their staff involved in them, they're not state staff.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Moving on, and if you'd like me to slow down and go in more detail, please
page
say, or we're moving into page 21.
Okay.
This is the Community College Workforce Development Federal and Other Support. This is where you see much of the workforce investment money that is sent out to the local workforce investment boards. Or whatever they're being called now under the new federal law. There are no policy packages, so what is here in this recommended budget is the current service level for this budget. Now, those federal funds could change as funding formulas at the federal level change, and there are non-limited federal funds in this budget around this that come in off and on for specific projects, specific workplace closings that are eligible for federal funding, and that represents almost $19 million there of non-limited federal funds. That's what was in the past. Who knows what that will be, but with non-limited funds you can they don't need to come back for legislative approval for expenditure limitation on non-limited. The Youth Conservation Corps is on page 22. Much again, there are no policy packages with this, so the current service level budget is what is being recommended. You'll see $2.5 million of other funds and about $1.2 million of federal funds in the Youth Conservation Corps. As noted, there had been a policy package for, I believe, $15 million that had not received funding in the in this budget recommendation. Page 23, this is the Community College Workforce Development Debt Services. The state has assisted community colleges for a number of years with various projects. There are no new projects this year in this budget, but this is the debt service for the ongoing projects that were authorized in the current biennium and previous biennium. You'll see on the next page in package 811, page 24, there's a significant decrease in the debt service. This is based on the most recent estimates of what is required for debt service for these projects. They reflect significant decreases, mainly because some of the projects that were authorized and included in the current service debt service need did not receive their local matches at the local level, which is required under the Constitution. So we have now delayed. Those projects are still authorized. They'll be reauthorized in the bonding bill for next biennium, but you don't need any debt service because they haven't been built yet. So they'll be eligible for funding through bonding in the next biennium if they receive their match. Some of the projects are going forward. So those are adjustments. Also, there another reason for decreases in this is there's savings generated by refinancing some of the outstanding debt to lower interest rates or other payment schedules, and then there are savings due to lower projections, because you have to sometimes project what the interest rate will be out 2 years, and when you actually issue them, they may be less or more than what you predicted. The next budget unit, moving to public universities, so that completes the community college portion of the program. Public University Support Fund is the first unit. This is funded at $665 million. The package on the next page, you'll see this indicative of OHSU and the public university. There'll be a package transferring money into HEC. The current service level in the budget does not include these budgets at the current service level. So what you'll first see coming in this package 100 for many of the packages or units coming down will be transferring that current service level. In this case, it's $513.6 million. Then if you turn the page is the expansion package, package 102. This adds over $150 million to the Public University Support Fund. These are funds that will go out to the public universities for various functions. This represents almost a 30% increase from current service level. So it is a significant increase and probably the largest increase you'll see in this budget for any project or any program of size. Is the Public University Support Fund going at 665.
What does that take the total support service to them, to the university?
665.
For the total. That's just part of that. Okay.
And this is just that fund. Then there are the statewides we'll get to next that play that role.
Thank you, Representative Smith Warner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Is there a similar budget note for the universities as the community colleges ones about the changing of the distribution formula?
Madam Chair, Representative Smith Warner, HEC has already introduced and passed the administrative rule, and that will take effect in a couple weeks distribution. Moving on to the Ag Experiment Station, page 28, and moving on to page 29, this is Ag Experiment Station, mainly operated by OSU, Oregon State University. Moving in just under $57 million in terms of current service. That is then expanded by $6.125 million to a total budget of, $63.1 million general fund for the experiment station. I think at the beginning I mentioned that there had been a $14 million increase for what some people call the statewides. It's the Forest Research Lab, the Experiment Station, and the Extension Service. So for the Experiment Station, that increase is $6.1 million. Moving on to the Extension Service, same type of thing. On page 32, you see the current service level being moved into this budget. That's $41.2 million. And on page 33, the Extension Service's share of that $14 million is $4.375 million increase, bringing the total there for the Extension Service to $45.6 million, which is $4.4 million over current service level.
Representative Huffman.
Thank you. Doug, this $14 million came into the session as a $16 million ask. Is that the same pot of money? Okay.
The $14 million is, Madam Chair, Representative Huffman, was what the co-chairs thought they could provide to that. Then on page 34 is the Forest Research Lab. The current service level, the package coming in on page 35, is $6.3 million for the Forest Research Lab. The same expansion package for the $14 million on package 805 on page 36.
Co-chair.
Mr. Co-chair.
Yeah, to Representative Huffman, the ask was $16 million. I still hope to get there. There will be an end of session balance bill, and I will personally be asking the co-chairs to try and find the other $2 million. The extension programs are absolutely critical, really make a difference in this state, particularly in rural areas. $14 million is a very good down payment, but I never give up till the end. So I will be continuing to ask if they can possibly find the other $2 million.
Good.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair.
So for the Forest Research Lab, between the current service level of 6.3 and the additional $3.5 million, the Forest Research Lab's recommended budget level is $9,771,107.
Senator Roblin.
I just want to make a point about this, the Forest Research. We also have a package for the advanced wood technology. It's a little over $2 million. It's currently in a different subcommittee, but it would be my intention to actually put it on the record that as it goes forward for continuing funding, it should come back to education. It's in work development and whatever right now, and I've talked with one of the co-chairs of that subcommittee, and I think that it has a good chance of moving, and the advanced technology to get us in that position is really important, and it is about development. But after it gets there, I really believe we should be looking at that as an ongoing expense in this subcommittee, because it is about the education and the use of advanced wood technologies at Oregon State University. So I just want to put that on the record so we note that next year we may see an uptick in this because of ongoing expenses necessary for that program.
Okay, Doug.
Madam Chair, moving on to the public university state programs on page 37 and 38, the package 100 transfers those programs in at current service level. They're on page 38. They're listed at what amounts. You'll see the dispute resolution programs, Oregon Solutions, the OSU fermentation program, and others that are listed. Those are the current service amounts that are coming in with this package. Most of those do not change anywhere else in the recommended budget. I'll make two notable exceptions to that in the next two packages. So they're listed there. Page 39, this is a transfer of the Oregon Metals Initiative. It's just less than $750,000. It is transferred to be put together with a number of other programs in this area in the Oregon Business Development Department. So this transfers out $749,000 to OBDD, and there'll be a companion package, of course, there. And then on page 40 is the ETIC program. This is where the $24.5 million ends up in the scheme of things for what Mr. Siebert was discussing in terms of ETIC funding, leaving about $6.1 million for the Talent Council in the current plan by the co-chairs. So that is the statewide or the public university state programs. The total budget ending up there is $24.3 million general fund. And then you have the public university's debt service. Again, there's a significant amount of funding that the state has raised through bonding and provided for specific projects at various public universities. So the debt service is paid through HEC, and they will be the administrative unit for receiving payment and making payments. And DAS will play an important role in that and their technical expertise around bonding programs and help out the HEC staff in that. Package 100 on page 42.
Doug, Representative Huffman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Doug, what kind of a role does the Debt Commission play in recommendations specific to the debt service for universities? Are we within a range that they recommend on that? Or I'm familiar with the overall recommendation, but specific to universities, I don't remember seeing that.
Madam Chair, Representative Huffman, I do not I'm not an expert in this, but off the top of my head, and I, if it's different, I'll get hold of you. I don't think the Debt Management Committee plays a role in specific projects or specific areas of where to spend. They set sort of the overall limits, of which then the group that puts the bonding bill together use that information to sort of set the limits on what they can spend with GO bonds as well as the lottery bonds. But in terms of specific projects, that's left up to the executive or the, you know, the governor in his proposals and the legislature in their decision making. And of course, that will be one of the final bills passed. On the debt service, the current service level coming in there is on page 42 on package 100, just under $130 million general fund and a little over $32 million of lottery funds. And then based on much similar to the Community College Workforce Development Bond debt service package, there are adjustments made for refinancing savings as well as figuring out what the actual interest rates and payments must be. So there are reductions there also. Also in this package, because of the changing nature with the former Oregon University system now not necessarily being part of like a regular state agency, the money will come in because the money has to be, the debt service and the projects have to be on the state books because they are state finance. So that money now comes into HEC, this is simplistically saying it, and HEC pays it. So the $224 million here of non-limited other fund limitation represents the money that is being paid into the state by the university systems for outstanding debt that is not necessarily general fund debt or their share of some of that bonding. There's also a $1 limited, non-limited federal funds for Buy America bonds if something comes to be of that program again that was part of the economic recovery at the federal level back a few years ago. So that, one more unit in public university world, the Sports Action Lottery. As you know, this budget, about 1% of lottery funds are designated to for this program. It counts to finance intercollegiate athletics and graduate school scholarships. 88% is for the athletic programs, of which 70% must be used for non-revenue producing sports, and 50% of that same pot must be used for women's athletics. And finally, the remaining 12% of the overall pot is for scholarships, student scholarships. The amount of sports action money in the budget is $11.4 million. The next package on page 46 reduces that by a little over $3 million. So there is $8.24 million in terms of sports lottery, which is the same as the $8 million plus inflation in the current biennium. And you'll see listed there on page 46 the actual distribution to the various public universities. And I apologize for the formatting. This budget system needs a little help around formatting, or I need a little help around formatting in these descriptions.
Representative Huffman.
So where's the 3.157647 being diverted to?
It is going into the large lottery pot, lottery funds pot for elsewhere in the state government.
So, Madam,
out of our budget.
This is the reverse of what we heard students come in and testify that they would like to see.
That's a direct possibility.
Madam Chair, then that completes the sports sports action and the entire public university appropriations. They flow through HEC and then are paid out to the public universities. Moving on to OHSU, this is the program side of OHSU.
Yes, Mr. Co-Chair.
This sports lottery is most significant for the small universities and for the women's athletic programs. Some of the big men's programs like football and basketball in particular bring in a lot of money, but generally speaking, you know, women's soccer and so on doesn't bring in much money. And without this sports lottery money, many of those athletic programs would have to be dropped or cut way back. So It's kind of important.
I thought you were going to recognize the U of O women's track team.
U of O women's track team is doing very well. Thank
yes.
you. They only won the championship.
Senator Roblin, I need more caffeine.
You got all of us. That was good. My question is, we talked about the community colleges, a 550 total budget. What's the total budget higher ed in this budget?
665.
Well, that's and plus more. The other thing. I've never added those up. I would, well, maybe I do.
I just thought it would be
asking
nice
you
to
shall
see how
receive.
close we got to the 7.7.
Seven, yeah.
No. I think we got close.
We all have these cheat sheets, folks.
Of the total for public universities is $937 million, roughly, of general fund and $40 million of lottery funds.
Okay.
And I believe the 755 was mainly around the public university.
Right.
Support fund.
Still works. Yeah, you're right. Not quite that.
So moving on to OHSU, there on page 47 and 48, page 48 has the package 100 where the current service level is being added. There are no other packages, so this budget is at current service level. And there on page 48 shows the distribution of those funds among the various units within OHSU, School of Medicine, Nursing, Dentistry, the Office of Rural Health, the Scholars for a Healthy Oregon, which is a relatively new program implemented or authorized 2 years ago, the Child Development and Rehab Center, the Poison Control Center, and then the Primary Health Care Loan Forgiveness Program.
Representative Huffman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, Doug, in each of these, from School of Medicine on down through Primary Health Care, each of those entries, they're pretty much the same as they were for 13-15 then?
Madam Chair, Representative Huffman, they're pretty much the same except for a small inflationary increase. Yeah. And as I noted, the debt service for OHSU is not included in this budget this time. So that is the OHSU budget. Keep in mind also that other state funds through the health plan, state employee health, they also flow into the OHSU system, but all that is outside of the state portion of their budget, for lack of a better term, or what the state provides them directly. Moving on to OSAC. Office Operations, page 49, page 50, just recognizes and adjusts the budget for a revenue shortfall that has happened in the scholarship programs, which I'll get to in a little bit. There's a reduction of $510,000 in the costs for that program. This reflects sort of a loss of one of the major scholarship programs and the consequences of transferring cost to other funds over the years in this agency. So the budget's been adjusted by $510,000 other fund downward, and a loss of 3.67 FTE. I'll come back to this in a minute or two. Package 100 transfers in the current service level for this budget unit at just under $2 million general fund and the 20 positions that come with it. On page 52, page 131, this is related to the expansion of the Oregon Opportunity Grant. $250,000 of that increase is designated for information systems changes related to that increase. Keep in mind that the agency described the changing nature of how they plan to run the opportunity grant, and he also passed, I think it was 2407, House Bill 2407, which showed the change in the nature and the timing and the priorities of the Oregon Opportunity Grant. Those will take some changes in programming, of which this package addresses. The next package is a federal funds increase for the second year of the biennium. When we should treat these as one-time federal funds because it varies from year to year based on how much the state increases its support to post-secondary education. we are expecting to get about $730,000 in increased funding for this, or actually a little more than that, but of that amount, $730,000 will be spent on this student outreach in the second year to help getting folks to fill out the FAFSA form, coordinate expansion of College Goals Sunday, and then also provide technical assistance to various Aspire sites around FAFSAs. $600,000 of these funds will be provided as grants from various partner organizations that will assist them in this. Then package 214, the scholarship restoration. I talked a minute ago about the decrease of $510,000. This buys back a portion of that, about $300,000 in general fund to offset those losses, and buys back two of the 3.67 FTE that was lost. The 2.0 FTE. This should be one time in nature. We're asking the agency to come back to 2 years from now to the Ways and Means process and talk a little bit more about this function of whether it can be self-supporting or not. This function is where various organizations have had contracted with OSAC to administer their private scholarships. It's really a pretty unique program across the country. It allows students to fill out their FAFSA and also make what is basically a single application to a whole host of private scholarships. Unfortunately now, you know, it's not becoming totally self-sufficient. Partially that is based on moving money off it to support OSAC generally, but we want them to come back and talk about whether or not this makes sense for the state to do. Will it be able to be self-sufficient, and what kinds of fees would they have to charge the organizations to become self-sufficient? So this $300,000 is a one-time appropriation to them. Package 313. Sorry about that. I'm changing my voice, I guess. Information technology needs. This is the replacement of the financial aid management information system. This is the large system that they have that manages all the financial aid that OSAC has. It has in the past had security issues. Keep in mind, this has all the FAFSA information for the state of Oregon students in it, so it needs to be a rather secure system, and it does need replacement. This is an $800,000 down payment to get the necessary project management and planning done. They will need to come back to the 2016 session and report. This also on page 55 includes a number of instructions to the agency around getting the project going through the stage gate process with the CIO's office of the state, and working out what they need to do as part of that process and continue through when they come back next February to ask for full financing of the project. And then position 804 is a cleanup position for this unit, the office operations unit, and is basically mostly around reclasses. Its costs, general fund was $22,864. We're asking them to identify general fund savings to cover those costs, but there's expenditure limitation for the other fund side of that. So that is the office operations. Moving on to OSAC other programs. These are where the scholarship dollars rest that I just described, those private scholarship dollars. And then the general fund in this program, the $948,000, is a program for students of community colleges to provide child care subsidies to a number of those students. It's an ongoing program that's been in place for a while. The only policy package in this area is package 100 on page 58 that brings in this program into the HEC budget at the current service level. Moving on to page 59, this is the Oregon Opportunity Grant Program. On page 60, of 65 is the package that brings them in at current service level.
Representative Smith-Warner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just briefly before you move out of this, do you know what the change is in that Oregon Student Child Care Grant program from the last budget to this one?
That one, Madam Chair, Representative Smith-Warner, I think was the 3% inflation.
Inflation. Okay.
Just inflation.
Thank you.
So on page 60 there's the money coming in current service level for the Oregon Opportunity Grant. And then package 131 is the expansion. We're providing funding up to a level of $140.75 million when you take into account the $250,000 in the operations budget for the IT changes. That brings it up to a total of $141 million made up of the general fund, lottery funds, and some carryover of Jobs Plus funding, which is designated in law that any unspent Jobs Plus F money after a certain period goes into this fund. So there's an increase of $14.5 million of general fund, a little over $8 million lottery funds, and a little over $1 million of those other funds, Jobs Plus related. I shall note here that under current law, 25% of the interest earning on the Ed Stability Fund goes for this purpose. The remainder, much of it went to the Department of Education to pay off bonding from early 2000s. The need for that bonding is, or debt service on those ODE bonds is expiring after this next biennium. It was about $40 million in the current biennium. It's down to just under $1.5 million. You'll see that next week when we go through that budget. So this budget, the $8 million for lottery funds, assumes that much more of the interest off the Ed Stability Fund will flow to this program, and this assumes passage of a provision that will be in the program change bill to dedicate those funds to this program.
Representative Smith-Warner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wondered if you could say to me in words what is written here on page 61, the package 131.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a $23.6 million increase over CSL, which is almost a 20% increase, but it's only a 3.7% increase over the amount available in 2013 to 2015.
There is an editing change, which I should have noted. There are some extra words in there that I'm not sure how they got in there. I didn't catch it. So if you cross out this amount represents a 3.7% increase, okay, You'll get what you need.
Okay. So it's a 20% increase and not just a 3.7.
Yes.
Okay,
it is
great.
A 20%, roughly a 20%
better
increase.
Good.
That's
catch.
A much better number. Thank you.
Yes.
I caught that this morning, so I should have noted that. And at this funding level, we expect to serve just under 84,000 recipients to the grant program. Moving on, then the Aspire program on page 62. Page 63 brings the current service level of $1.65 million general fund into the HEC budget for the Aspire program. So that is at current service level amount. That funds 8 positions and 6 FTE. There are a number of part-time positions involved with the Aspire program. So that's why you see a less FTE there. There's an expansion of in the second year to bring a total bring up the number of sites to by over 112 positions, adding in the second year. This is using some of those federal funds I mentioned earlier that we should term as one-time funds at this point. So this is bringing expenditure limitation increase of about $661,000. And that funds 3 positions and 1.14 FTE, and also quite a bit of money at the various Aspire sites to help support them in the second year of the biennium. The unfortunate thing is you'll have to either find general fund to backfill or hope that these federal funds will continue in the future for the 17-19 biennium.
Representative Smith-Warner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to check on some language now. So this is the Aspire program, which I'm familiar with. I know Representative Springer is a great advocate for as well. How so? Aspirations to college Is that which we funded in the last? Is that part of this? Is that a separate program? I'm just trying to keep all my similarly named great ideas straight in my head.
Well, there are two components in the OSAC budget, in this budget, that are sort of around that. The Aspire program, which you've heard quite a bit about, and I think most of this, are there any college sites? I'm not sure. There might be, but most of them are at the high school level, and a lot of them, there are some at the middle school level.
Proposed expansion.
What?
There's a proposed expansion.
Yes, there is, but it's not included in this budget. Or I'm looking, are any of the 112 sites at college levels, Bob?
I said three.
Three? Okay. So three of the sites in this package are going to be at the college level or post-secondary level. There's also money that I explained a bit ago that there was some work during this biennium and for the second year of next biennium around FAFSA, getting folks out to help prepare FAFSAs. And those are sometimes complicated forms for the federal federal financial aid packages. Okay. So those are used for the Oregon Opportunity Grant also as terms of eligibility determination.
But the Aspirations to College program, is that a separate?
I'm not sure if I know what that program or by the term. It could be the FAFSA program that I just described. I'll have to get back to you on that.
Thank you.
No, it's separate. It's not part of Aspire. It's a separate.
Okay.
That's my understanding.
Okay.
So that with that increase, that completes the individual packages on page 65 of 65. It is just the capital construction section. You'll notice it is zero. So there's no new capital construction proposed in this biennium for community colleges. The limitation will, if there are increases in public universities, will be in the capital construction bill, and then you would see it next biennium here. That, Madam Chair, completes the detail going through it. If you return to your memo, which would be way back at the top of that OLIS publication, where we'd return to page 3 of that, our recommendation there is laid out of what the budget I just went through. The general fund amount would be $1,747,865,455. Lottery funds of $62,406,155. Other funds from various sources, $27,136,059. Federal funds, $111,772,952. Non-limited other funds, the $224,791,215, and non-limited federal funds of $18,968,833, for a total funds amount of $2.192 billion. 130 positions, many of which are brought in from the various components that have moved into the agency, and a total of 118.85 FTE. So that, Madam Chair, would be our recommended budget.
Thank you. Any questions, Representative Huffman?
Thank you, Madam Chair. So are the you co-chairs comfortable? Loaded question.
No, Representative Huffman, comfortable is an interesting adjective. I firmly believe this is a good budget. We have made major increases in a number of areas, and yet we did stay at current service levels at other areas. When we finish with our work committee, I believe, and I spoke to one of the co-chairs, that overall this is probably one of the best education budgets the state has ever accomplished. And yes, I am very comfortable with this. And Mr. Co-Chair, any comments from you?
Well, it's the best we've done in some time. Since at least prior to 07, it does have significant additional resources for both community colleges. Community colleges in 07 were at 500. This budget, and they dropped as low as 395. This budget is at 550. So we've caught up basically to where we were in 07, if you count inflation and so on. Higher ed, we've been underfunding for years and years and years. This catches up to a significant degree, and I think with the new structure, is given the resources that are available, this is really a pretty good budget. We've done more for higher ed than has been done in a long time, and that's critical. So, Madam Co-Chair,
Representative Hoffman.
Thank you. Senator Monroe, you said earlier that you were going to try to get an additional $2 million for the statewide. Are there any other areas that you care to mention that you're going to try to focus on and that you care to put on the record, or leave that alone?
Well, I on the community college side, I still have a concern that we disincentivize community colleges funding the higher cost programs that lead to family wage jobs, and they end up cutting a number of students available in those programs and so on. So Mr. Cannon and Doug and I are working on language for a budget note, and I'll try to get that accepted by Buckley and Devlin to speak to that issue. Community colleges are really critical. That's where workforce development happens. And, you know, you all know it's a very high priority of mine, second only to the early childhood stuff. So I'll be working on that as well and try to get that budget note prepared, and you will all see it. And hopefully the big co-chairs will accept it. That will encourage our community colleges to emphasize those higher paying jobs. We take baby steps, but this is more than a baby step. This is a significant step in terms of higher education funding in this state. Is it where we ought to be? No. But it's way better than we've done since before 07.
And a follow-up for Representative Hoffman, and then we have Senator Roblin, and then I hope we're ready for a motion.
Thank you, co-chairs. And that was a serious question, because as a committee member, you kind of have to take some things by faith. Having been a subcommittee co-chair in the past, I know that you're privileged to information that the rest of us aren't necessarily, and some of the extensive meetings in the inner sanctum there, right next door to Doug's office. And so, I do value those comments, because we're not in there to hear all this.
Senator Roblin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I want to agree and say I appreciate the comments that were made about where we're at with the budget. And your final comments address an issue that's important to me, and that's what CCWD has done, and now as part of HEC, worth that workforce investment, and the two POPs not being funded. I would love to have seen some more money go into helping youth that are still in high school and going to college and aren't dropped out. Most of the federal money we get for workforce is about kids that are already out. That would be good to continue to make that transition easier for those kids that are looking at a vocational as opposed to a academic degree. And the same is true with developing programs in our community colleges through CCWD that give skills to people to get those jobs that you were talking about, the higher paid jobs, the advanced weldings and the other things. We do a lot with our community colleges to help focus training when a new company comes in or a business to help it really do that training. We need to get those people trained up so they could pick their own job as opposed to just those sometimes. And I think we don't always put funds in those places. So hopefully as you continue to work on the budget, we will continue to make sure that that part of the education system that helps people get jobs that pay, and not necessarily higher education, but through community colleges, are really important, and we need to work on.
Thank you, Senator. Representative Taylor.
Thank you, Co-Chair Kump. This question is actually for Doug. Doug, can you talk to us a little bit about where the CTE funding, what's happening with that, please?
Madam Chair.
If you know.
Representative Taylor. The CTE specific funding is part of Oregon Department of Education, so you'd see that next week during that work session. And I know a number of folks are working with things. Now, that is not to say that the community colleges also play a large role in CTE. So, you know, a good share of that 550 million goes to CTE related programs that are taught at the community colleges also.
Okay, maybe it's a better question for next week, but follow up, please. Mm-hmm. So, just to so I understand, so the 550 that we that was been referred to, the will there be? Is it safe to say there'll be additional funds above the 550, perhaps going to that, or is that part of that's just going to be part of the ODE budget and part of this?
The Madam Chair, Representative Taylor, the 550 is really, it goes out of distribution formula at this point based on student FTE, and the CTE programs that are part of that are part of that FTE count. So there's nothing specific that says you're going to increase your CTE related functions at community colleges, because it's more of a block grant distribution than a specific fund type. The CTE budget in Department of Education is much more specific. It's individual grant programs generally that go that folks apply for. And there is a plan out there that I think is being discussed that still needs a little work on before it gets into the budget.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
And Madam Co-Chair, the number that you'll see on Monday, $35 million, and that's, it won't be lower than that, maybe higher for CTE. And that's in addition to our regular budget.
Representative Smith-Warner.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I just wanted to comment briefly on the differential between the increase for community colleges versus universities, and whether there anybody wants to speak briefly over whether this is making up for a historical imbalance, or and maybe just say for the record that something to note in the future, that community college increase was 21% versus 30% for the universities, and that's a significant difference. And feel free to comment on it making up for historical issues, or maybe we need to keep an eye on keeping that closer in the future as well.
And I would have balanced those two if I could play God for a day and wave my magic wand, but there are a lot of reasons for that. Feeling of some people is that universities have been underfunded even greater than community colleges. It's also the fact that community colleges, besides getting state money, also have access to property taxes that universities don't have access to. So, you know, there are reasons for that disparity. Being a community college type guy, I would have balanced those two numbers, but I understand why they came out where they did, and I'm willing to accept that.
Just two comments before we take a motion, Mr. Co-Chair. I thank all the people that are here in attendance today to hear this information firsthand. This is the first time that since we passed legislation moving all these agencies together, and as we thought at the time, it would be quite a challenge, and our 60-some pages of materials definitely tell us that for sure. And the other part is we really did try to stay in the form of what the co-chair recommendations originally were. As passing the K-12 budget early, it was important that we balance these as best as we could. And so, yes, if we all had our magic wand, we'd probably all play something a little differently. But I think it's time for a motion, Mr. Co-Chair.
Well, Madam Co-Chair, I would move the LFO recommendation with respect to House Bill 5024.
Co-Chair Monroe moves the LFO recommendation to House Bill 5024. Discussion? Any objections? Motion passes. Oh, yes, Senator.
I just objected. You just didn't look over here, is all.
Senator Thompson, yes, I just love you. Do you object with the 30% increase?
It's higher than nine.
Reason.
I know, because it's more than 10.
I don't want to upset
nine
today.
Point something.
Yes, okay. Senator Thompson is a no.
And
what?
Well, I have a question for Senator Thompson. I don't know if he's thought about that, because he made that disclaimer before the May revenue forecast, which added $105 million to the state school fund. Have you adjusted your
percentage?
Well, I have to take consistent action. I'm pretty frazzled. I just got out of a meeting with Senator Courtney, so I'm probably not able to.
Okay. And colleagues, we're going to move on to the KPMs.
Madam Chair, the KPMs are listed way back at the bottom of that that document. There are 6 pages of KPMs. I do not plan to go through all of them. By definition, since this is a relatively new agency, they are all proposed KPMs. Many of them are the same or similar to what came from the component agencies. I worked with the agency some in coming up with the targets, but generally used targets that were close to them, and I think you need to think of these as baseline targets and see what data comes in over the next 2 years before starting to dive into them. So that is, they're listed there as our recommendation with the targets. So you would need a motion just to accept or decline the LFO recommendation on KPMs.
Okay, I do have a question, but please place the motion.
Madam Co-Chair, I move that we accept the LFO recommendation with respect to the KPMs.
Co-Chair Monroe moves the LFO recommendations for the KPMs to House Bill 5024. And discussion? Doug, I have a question. Will you be working, how are we going to coordinate KPMs and make sure that we've done the research about what we need for a data system to show us our outcomes, or do you have any direction from the co-chairs about how that's going to proceed?
Madam Chair, there's no specific instructions from the co-chair. I'll work with the agency. I think some of the money on the IT projects are valuable in making sure it's collected. That institutional research staff I discussed are important components on the public university side. So we'll work with the agency to make sure things get collected and measured.
Thank you. Any other questions or discussion on the motion? Any objections? Motion carried with no objections.
Madam Chair, there are 4 budget notes in the memo. I'll quickly go through them. The first one is one I mentioned around operations. It instructs the agency to start moving positions. In addition to the funding that's moved in here, there are still a number of positions out in OSAC, in the Community Office of Community College and Workforce Development, that are support positions, admin and support positions. We would like them to come back as part of the development of the 17-19 budget and really work on centralizing that staff. The second one deals with the Community College Support Fund. This is purely that the budget will be discussed, that they need to come back in the 2016 session or prior to that to the the Joint Committee on Ways and Means to discuss the change in the distribution before they implement it. There's a Public University Support Fund budget note that I believe has worked with the public universities and the Student Association, saying that the additional $30 million dollars given in the post-revenue forecast is to use to fund campus investments and targeted tuition remissions for undergraduate Oregonians and programs to improve student graduation, and it goes on from there about the commitment of the universities to do certain things and also to report back to HEC and legislative committees on these actions. And the fourth budget note deals with the statewide public service programs and just requires the Oregon State University to come back and make a brief report to the legislature during the 2016 session on how that $14 million were the investment were used in terms of hiring, the progress in the investments that was going to be made. So those are the budget notes, and if you approve the budget, those would be included.
Okay, Representative Springer and then Representative Huffman.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Representative Wisnett had submitted a budget note on the LERC. I'm not seeing that anywhere here. There's quite a bit of discussion about having that in this document. Can you tell me what happened to that?
Madam Chair, Representative Springer, that was presented to the co-chairs but was not approved is all I can say. I was not part of the discussions around that budget note.
Follow-up?
But I did know we did submit it to the co-chairs.
Thank you. Follow-up and thank you, Madam Chair. I'm disappointed in that because that was simply a budget note that said it wanted to look at how a particular program was spending its money. And I think that in the interest of transparency, I think that would have been a good thing, and I'm really sorry and disappointed to not see it here.
Thank you. Representative Huffman.
That was what I was going to ask about, Madam Chair. Thanks.
Okay.
A separate motion on the budget notes.
If you would, that'd be the safest way to do it.
Madam Co-Chair, I move acceptance of the budget notes as presented by LFO.
Co-Chair Monroe has moved to accept the recommended budget notes recommended by LFO. Any discussion? Any objections?
Discussion.
Yes.
I'm going to vote no on the motion, not because I disagree with the current budget notes, and certainly I'm a huge, huge fan of extension service experiment stations and the research laboratory. But I'm quite disappointed in the lack of the other budget note.
Okay. Thank you, Representative. Any other discussion? Any objections?
I will join my partner here.
Representative Springer and Representative Huffman object. Motion carries.
And Madam Co-Chair, let the record show it wasn't you and I that vetoed that particular budget note.
Madam Chair, the next action is the amendment is in your amendment section, the dash threes. This will put into statute all the limitation appropriation clauses necessary for this budget, and that would be this motion here.
Madam Co-Chair, I would move the dash three amendments to House Bill 5024.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The motion is to move the dash three amendment into 5024. Discussion? Objections? So moved.
Final
Mr.
motion.
Co-Chair.
Madam Co-Chair, I would move House Bill 5024 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Co-Chair Monroe has moved House Bill 5024 to the full committee as amended with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objections? Senator Thompson objects, and so will so be recorded. Motion carries.
Carriers.
Now we need carriers.
Madam Co-Chair, I'll carry it to the Senate. I'll carry it to the full if you would like, or you can.
If you would do it to the full, that would be great.
Okay. I'll carry it to the full and to the Senate.
And because of the amount of time that Representative Huffman has spent on the Higher Education Committee, I think if you'll
it's his fault?
Take it to the floor in the House.
Absolutely. I should have kept my mouth shut more
yes,
today, shouldn't
should
I?
Have.
Yeah.
Well, do you want to take it?
By the way, Kate,
I would be happy to.
Over 11%.
Thank you. Okay, committee,
right.
That closes the work session on House Bill 5024. Mr. Wilson,
Madam
what do
Chair,
we need to do
here? Given the witching hour, I think if you could carry over Senate Bill 218 and House Bill 5025 till tomorrow, we'll deal with them, those two at that point in time. That would be my suggestion.
Thank you. We will carry over Senate Bill 218 and House Bill 5025 for tomorrow's meeting. Committee, any other comments? Thank you so much for your attention. We're adjourned.